Okay, hang on a second.
This conference is being recorded.
Okay, super. I heard that it's being recorded, but why isn't my thing going? All right, I'll assume I trust it. Hey, everybody on BBS, and everyone checking in, and everyone on the replays. This is Wynn Free on our Wednesday night call. You got questions, we got answers, and I hope so. This is a crazy world we're in, and sometimes people don't really want to know all the answers. I probably know. I know more than I wished I knew. Problem is, you get too responsible to know all these things. Are you on, Terry? Terry, where are you? Anyway, we have about six people that checked in that didn't say hello. Would you care to say your name and your city?
Yeah, Wynn?
Yeah.
Hi, it's Dave from Atlantic City.
Hi, Dave.
How are you?
Fine. You're really from Margate, right?
Yeah, but I don't think anybody knows Margate.
I do.
Now that everybody does.
You know, I had my first experience of spirituality in Atlantic City, okay? And I will never forget it. We used to go there. And when I was a kid, I was pretty innocent. I had a lot of fun. And Atlantic City was the most fun. And I remember how I had a bunch of kids, and we were all playing in the sand, and we were having such joy. And when we had to leave, I just cried and cried because I was so happy in Atlantic City.
Oh,
so
okay.
That's what I remember about Atlantic City. And we got all these people checking in, so let's see who else wants to say their name in the city.
Hi, Wynn. This is Don from Rexall.
Don from where?
Rexall.
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 What state is that, Don?
It's right between Cleveland and Akron in Ohio.
Okay. And anyone else want to check in? Say their name in the city.
This is Roger in Austin. And good evening.
Hi, Roger. Anyone else want to say their name in the city?
Hello, this is Edna.
Hello, Edna.
Hi.
Mein Schöne Fräulein.
Ah, danke schön.
And anyone else want to say their name in the city?
Carol.
Yeah, Michael Waterly.
Michael?
Yes.
Hello, Michael. Michael, you did great on that healing prayer on the line with Carla, okay?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to take advantage of your ability to bring in energy. I can feel it.
Wonderful.
And who else wants to say hello?
Ron in Mountain Grove, Missouri.
Ron in Mountain Grove, and who else?
Lisa, San Francisco.
Hi, Lisa. How are you feeling?
Good evening.
Good evening. Now, is Terry there?
I'm here.
You're there. Oh, good. It's a good thing you're here, because then I don't have to channel.
Hey.
And anyone else want to say their name in the city?
Hi, Susan in Michigan.
Hi, Susan.
Michigan.
Is anyone checking in tonight for the first time?
Yes.
Is that Susan?
Sharon.
Sharon.
From Ohio.
Okay. Welcome, Sharon. Anyone else checking in for the first time?
I was Mary Angela.
Mary Angela, right.
Yes.
Okay.
Jeannie from Citrus Heights.
Who is that?
Jeannie from Citrus Heights, California, near Sacramento.
Jeannie from Citrus Heights.
Yes.
I remember driving through Citrus Heights.
Is that on the
5 freeway?
It's close. It's a little bit northeast of Sacramento, and
okay.
The 5 runs more or less west, on the west end of Sacramento.
Wonderful. Well, thank you. Thank you for joining us. And
thank you for being here.
We're going to have you listened to any of our calls on the replays or anything?
Oh, yes. I've listened to quite a few. I'm not
right.
New. I don't know if you were just asking for absolutely new people. Or,
no.
But
well,
I don't usually cut the phone line.
All right. Well, I'm going to mute you all. And
muted.
There we go. Some of you, if you're brand new, if you're just new to the group, new to paying attention, there is this really amazing phenomena that happens around this work. And hang on, let me do a little mute job there. Hang on. Okay. Chimes are off. And what is unusual about this? What is so unusual? And I say it so you pay attention, because it's subtle. I'm sure that if you've gotten as far as listening to a call, you've watched my little video where I told the story of how I met Daphne and what happened, and this voice was talking to me that said they were the Elohim. And, you know, I'm your average, everyday skeptic, and just because somebody tells me there's something doesn't mean I believe them, but they never asked me to do anything. They just said, ask them questions. And so this evolved for quite some time, and I was getting very interesting answers, and I was starting to lean in the direction, hang on a second, that they really might be who they said they were, just by the way they answer questions, the way they looked at everything, and they were so loving. But there were a number of closers that said, okay, uncle. They really are who they are, and they're trustworthy, and there's nothing demonic in this. And, you know, because I was running all those questions, and I think if anyone is checking this out, especially if they come from any religious background, they're predisposed almost, even people that come from strong religious backgrounds are predisposed to almost dismiss everything because it might be demonic. And in certain ways, there is a wisdom to that, because there are so many things where people bring messages through, where people are doing phenomena that are not positive, even though they look positive. And even when there can be phenomena attached or psychic awareness attached, and even when they talk about love, it may not be positive. It's tricky to figure it out. And one of the things that was a big milestone in my figuring it out, one of them, one of many, but one of them was when they suddenly, when I had that question about Terry, and they said, look up St. Catherine of Siena. And when I looked up the story of St. Catherine of Siena, I found the story of this young woman who would go down to the local church, and they would write down everything she said because they thought God was speaking to them through her. And I found out that St. Catherine's dialogues with God were still in print, still available on Amazon. And what was St. Catherine doing? By and large, she was, the voice coming through her was trying to break down the corruption in the church, because the church had gotten corrupted, as all churches do, as everything does in this realm. It's very hard to keep things from getting corrupted. But the amazing thing about it, of course, as most of you know, is how much Terry looked like St. Catherine. Catherine, and I had learned that people look like their past lifetimes. I learned that when I was writing the book about David Wilcock because of his astounding resemblance to Edgar Casey. And it makes sense because if you have a soul and the soul travels between lifetimes, it's not beyond consideration that the soul carries the imprint of the DNA, kind of like it's programmed into it. So when the soul comes into the new body, there's all that DNA that's waiting to be programmed. It's like a computer carrying a program, and it programs the DNA, and suddenly you look like who you were. And, of course, in most cases, unless we were somebody famous, unless you knew who you were, somebody famous, you'd never figure it out. So it's not that relevant. In my case, they said, look up St. Catherine, and, of course, the David Wilcock, Edgar Casey. And then there were other incidents like this, quite a few, that it just pushed the edge of doubt out of my mind. And then there was this phenomena that took about a few years for me to identify. And the phenomena was that they would be present in things that I was doing in a way that other people could feel them. So, you know, that was a number of years ago. And these calls are a culmination of all those experiences where not only have we gotten some of the most amazing information about how the universe runs, how we evolve, but there's a presence on these calls, which you may not feel the first time, or you may, but they say that they are beaming into the call. I use the word beaming. They have another way of saying it, but they have their frequencies on these calls in a manner which you can tune into and feel. And it's very uplifting, and particularly our Sunday call, if you've never listened to it, is the one that focuses on feeling those frequencies. So, if you're on this call, and you're new, pay attention. It's hard to put this into words because sometimes people have never experienced this before, until they came onto our call. So it's not a normal experience, but there's a feeling perhaps of tingling. There's a feeling of expansion. It's in the silence. I'm not doing it. If I stop talking, take a moment, feel the energy. Some people notice that their mind stops chattering. They're in a more quiet, peaceful place. And so, for me, the greatest contribution that we're making for you is to be a reference point for those energies. And that if you keep coming onto the calls, you start to expand where those energies are now part of your life. And you've expanded and you've become energetic friends with these sources. Not everybody can talk to them. Most people can't. And for most people, unless it comes naturally, I wouldn't recommend looking for it because it opens you up to things that, if you don't know how to handle it, can be scary or could be negative. Like, how do you know who's talking to you? How do you know they're who they say they are? I had that problem. Now, this really uplifted feeling of expansion is experiential. It's not a belief. And the people, I get so many emails and then from people that are doing this. So I hope you new people will keep coming back and opening up to this experience. Because what happens is once you start making this connection, suddenly things happen in your life. We've seen people with healings. We've seen people that suddenly sold their house. We've seen people with synchronicities. And you start operating more multidimensionally. Most people don't operate multidimensionally. They operate from a framework of being compressed into what some people call 3D, or this reality system. And, of course, you can move a little bit within it, but it's a trap. You don't even know you're trapped. You don't know it because you haven't experienced how it feels to be beyond it. And what it's like, a man who was born blind doesn't know he's blind because he never experienced what it's like to see. So it's similar to that. We're all born and into this realm, and we're compressed. And when there's an expanded frequency coming in, it feels, it can feel scary sometimes. It's not scary, but some people feel invaded. But you're not, first of all, they honor free will. They don't come into your space unless you're open to it and would like it. And that it's a really pleasant feeling. And in the highest sense of the word, when we start to talk about what they call the law of one, and that the whole universe is just one being, and we're little subsets of it, then what happens is it's part of the oneness that's trapped in this realm is meeting another part of the oneness that's not trapped in this realm, and we start working with each other, and everything evolves. Okay, now, I promise not to talk any more than that. We have, let me just see if we have any last-minute questions. Okay. Now, this is a good question, and just a moment. Just registering this question from Sharon. I won't use her last name. Hi, Sharon. Thanks for asking. And just remember, when we ask a question, the best, when you're looking for a linear answer, like for them to tell you to do something, then they usually won't do that. Usually, they'll trigger you into some kind of contemplation where you can address your own question. Because this is about personal responsibility, and it's not about giving up your power and thinking they know better than you, and that the goal, as I see it from them, is that we can learn how to function in this realm from an expanded space. And we can start to figure out our own answers. So with that, I'm going to, we have this little thing called calling in of the light. And are you there, Terry?
I'm here.
Are you using that new headset I gave you?
Yes, I am. Is it right?
Yeah, it's good. Make sure you don't cover that microphone. Just it's not as steady because it's not a boom, so it can move
around. I'll try to hold it.
Yeah, you know, I don't think you have to hold it, but just let it flow free. Because if it hits against your skin, it can put the mic up against your skin and cover the mic, and then you'll be money. Okay?
Okay.
All right, great, great, great. So we have the energy present, and one of the great things is that there's so many of you have been coming to the calls regularly, and you're helping to anchor the energies. It's like some of you who have been on the calls and remember two or three or four, even 4 years ago, it was a different experience. It's now we show up and we hit the ground running. The energy is present early on. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this call, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls, and we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us, and we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now, and we'll let our sources identify themselves through Terry.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is Ra On, and this is the 1st of May, 2013. And we make connection. We each and every person on the line that wishes to have connection made with them. And we do not come over the telephone line. We do not come through the radio. We come directly to you. It is our joy to be with you tonight. Do you have questions?
Yes. Thank you. We have a question here. Just a moment. From Gary Brownlee. Gary, sorry I said your last name, but I don't think you mind, but I shouldn't say last names. If we ask for something, such as a healing, and what we asked for does not manifest, is it correct to assume that it was not for the highest good of the one asking for one reason or another?
This is a complex question, and we are mindful of your question. We see that when you ask and when it is not granted, it does not mean necessarily that it would not be the highest good for you to achieve the result. But the question is, the highest good in what manner, and the highest good of all concerned? And the future, all things are taken into consideration. There is a consideration of all factors, whether or not the body is on a path that can sustain the healing. Are there factors in the environment? Are there factors in the diet? Are there factors in the society? All of these are considered in the healing. And if there is one thing that isn't in alignment with the healing, then the healing may not be able to go forward. One of the things is the negative ions available for healing within the body, which is dictated by the state of the body. Is there an infection that is overloading the body, that is hidden and is not allowing healing to override all of these factors and provide healing, could cause the recurrence of the condition. Also, if there is a predisposition for the illness in the outlook of the individual, some desire to move to a different arena, this is also considered. We consider paramount the person's free will. We have given you some clues in what we have said here.
You know, something I would like to address. Sometimes people are sick or they have conditions, and I know this for a fact, they think they're not being healed because they're being punished and they're bad. Could you address this, please?
This is not the case. When someone is not being healed, there may be something in their past history that is orienting to be predisposed toward the illness. It could be we are not saying that in the case of Gary, this is the truth for him, but in some cases it could be that the adrenals are being overtaxed and the stress in the environment is continually overtaxing them, which doesn't allow the body to move into the healing mode. They are not being punished. However, there are some factors present that may be hidden that are creating an environment within the body that it does not bring about the healing. It can be even an infected area within the teeth that can, along the meridians of the body, put stress upon the body, where in along that meridian, the body cannot move into the arena of healing.
Thank you. A question from Sharon. She says, should I continue to look for a job in my field or for something entirely different? Now, I'm going to make a comment from my own experience. When people start having certain spiritual awarenesses, and they have a job where that energy is compressed. They can't express it. It's not like they have, it's not even what they say. It's not the communicative ability to talk about it. It has to do, you have a job where there's teamwork. And even in a constricted government job, there could be a boss that understands this principle in the line, and you're under that boss, and he understands teamwork and feeling the ability to inspire the people that are under him or her. So one of the things can be that, are you in a job where you're constricted, or are you in a place where you feel expanded and you have to spend 8 hours a day in a constricted situation where you feel you have an authority figure on top of you that never allows you to be who you really are, not on a personality level, but on a being level. So sometimes if you're in that situation, it's probably in your best interest to see if there is some kind of job where those attributes of yourself can flow in a teamwork environment so you feel a sense of love. But jobs are not that easy to come by these days for many people. So it's not something you shouldn't quit your job until you find something else. And then, of course, some people have an innate talent that if they were expressing that talent, they would be far more fulfilled than in a job where they're not expressing it. So if you have a special talent that you feel that you'd feel better if you were expressing that talent, then that's another reason to look for a job. But let's just ask this question on Sharon's behalf. Should I continue to look for a job in my field or for something entirely different? Thank you.
Thank you. We look at the situation and we see that there is another area which in the past life you were very, very good at. And you have worked in the field in this life, and there are inputs coming in from a past life where you did very well in a different type of job. And sometimes when you go to sleep, you may picture yourself in that type of job. You would say new job, except that in a way it would be a continuation of a past life job where you did very well, and we see that you were a very big success in that. And we suggest that you review both areas when you look for a job. And with the second type of job, you have a natural talent and a natural knowing of what to do. And so we suggest that you look into both areas of availability of jobs and see if a synchronicity can bring in the type of job that you sometimes dream of, and that your talents in your field in this life could even help you in the talents of the other life jobs.
Thank you. And we have an interesting question from Rick in Iowa City, and I think I'm going to answer this question and see if there's anything our sources want to add to it. Because this is something you might want to get a pencil and paper, because I'm going to make some comments on things you might want to look up on the Internet and do your own research. Again, when you're looking things up on the Internet, never, ever just believe one website. Look for patterns, repetitions, resonance, because when it comes to things in history or in ancient history, they're not things that are obvious and that you can validate for yourself. In this particular question, this was something that I did ask some questions about, and I'll tell you how they were answered. But it has to do with Adam and Eve. Were these two actual humans, or is this whole story from the Bible just an allegory? And what happened in the Garden of Eden, and they think it was the fall of man, and some think it was sexual. Well, you know, I did a lot of research on this, and the answer is really wild. And if you're like a Bible person, just don't listen to this, because this is not a Bible answer to that question. As we know, or as we've asked questions about, the answers are that there is a group of intelligences at the center of time or the center of the universe that's been talking to us called the Elohim. And the Elohim that we're talking to has, the way they've answered my questions, when I say that, I say we don't want to believe this because they say it, you have to consider it amongst everything else they say. But because the way they've answered the questions is that they haven't had bodies. They have lived as pure energy or pure spirit and outside of time. So we are inside of time. And so what would seem a long time for us doesn't seem like a long time for them, because they don't have time. And some of those Elohim souls that existed and watched the universe expand and grow, which was, they started it, but then they allowed free will for all the beings in it. And then some of the Elohim came into this realm, chose to take bodies, and ended up, when they came in, initially, or at some point, forgetting who they were, where they came from, and they got caught up in the karma of this realm. And one of the ways they got caught up in this realm, initially they could come in and they could leave. They could occupy a body that was here and leave, and they go back and forth. But apparently it was through sex, being in the occupying or sharing space in a body, and through sex that they started to get, their energies got pulled into this realm, and they couldn't get out, and they got stuck here, and they got stuck in reincarnation. And they had superior powers to the other beings in the realm. So they became wanting to have a nice life here. And so to have a nice life, they could have slaves, they would be like gods to the beings that had evolved within the realm. And so there were groups of these Elohim, or descended Elohim, and this might be, at least some of these descended Elohim might be what the Bible calls fallen angels. But this is actually how it actually worked. They had spaceships. They would travel they probably occupied planets and became the population of a planet. And on Earth, there's a story that goes back to Sumeria, which much of the Bible apparently was based on. And in the Sumerian tablets, it talked about two of these descended Elohim souls who were the leaders of spaceships that come to Earth to do gold mining. And their bodies were not that fit for mining gold or doing manual labor. So they were genetic geniuses, genetic scientists, and they decided to create a hybrid between their genes and the genes of the Neanderthal man, I believe it was. So they would create a being that was smart and that was strong. And they would, those beings would do their gold mining. And initially, they were not going to allow those beings to procreate, because there was, like in Star Trek, there was a law of non-involvement in changing things in a planet. It was supposed to evolve on its own accord. So these original hybrids were not supposed to procreate, and they were being gestated in the women of these Elohim, and they're called Anunnaki. If you want to look them up, Anunnaki in a lot of texts, and I believe the Bible might call them Nephilim. And if you know in the Bible, it says the sons of God mated with the daughters of man, and that was referring not to the Elohim we talk to, as we understand it, but to these fallen Elohim that could be considered sons of God. So, there were two brothers, you might want to write these down, Enki and Enlil. And they had opposing points of view about what to do with these hybrids. One of them said, we just can't let them reproduce. And the other one wanted them to reproduce. So they ended up reproducing, and the two brothers became arch enemies. And one of them wanted to kill all these hybrids, and the other wanted them to nurture them into God realization. Enki was the one who wanted to nurture, and Enlil wanted to kill them, or do away with them, or eliminate them. And this rivalry between these two brothers became much of the substance of the Old Testament. Because, for example, the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, where a building, you know, a whole town exploded, was because the brother that wanted to do away with humans nuked the town. And the story of Noah was where the other brother was trying to save these beings. And of course, these beings were the beginning of humans, beginning of us. And the humans started to get rebellious, and the Anunnaki would try to control them by saying they were gods, and they would try to control them by fear. And there's a lot on the internet about this, and it's a fascinating look at things. And one time I asked a question in a session, and I kind of got pretty much confirmation from our sources that that was all true. And it's a very interesting look at the dynamic of how we got here. And if you look on the internet, you'll see that in the Old Testament, there were different names for God. Elohim was one of them. Another one was Yahweh. And Yahweh was a god of sacrificing people. It was a god of fear. It was, and that particular one represented the brother that wanted to eliminate everybody or control them out of fear. And so it's a very interesting answer to the question, and it takes it quite beyond the Bible and into what sounds a little like science fiction. And of course, you can believe what you want, but there's a lot on the internet. There was a scholar by the name of Zachariah Sitchin, S-I-T-C-H-E-N, who was translating Sumerian tablets. Remember, the Sumerians was the oldest culture on the planet, I believe. And in those tablets, he found this story of Enki and Enlil, and then he wrote books about it. So that's, I think, who initially started that idea of where we came from. So on that note, I'm going to turn it over to our sources, and they can add or subtract whatever they want from what I just shared. Thank you.
Thank you. In the memories of history, the unwritten history of planet Earth, there are beings that inhabited the Earth before the written history, before the remembered history. And these beings were very much like the human beings that inhabit the Earth at this time. There was trade that went on between other star systems and the solar system. And there were stop-off places for flying saucers to stop and drop off vacationers. Then things changed and war broke out that was brought to the planet from outside of the solar system. And for a time, human beings did not exist on the Earth. Then there was a time when the societies, the star societies, reestablished the gold trade to stop and to put gold to mine it and to put onto the flying saucers to be taken in.
Excuse me, Terry is getting a little muffled. Maybe she should hold the mic.
Thank you.
Much better. Thank you.
The flying saucers then encountered a world with primitive man. The stories of Adam and Eve were passed down from generation to generation and had to do with the reestablishment of man in the earth plane and the bringing of life in human form back into the earth plane. The stories are, we wish to use the word allegories. However, Terry does not know the meaning of allegories. The stories represent what has transpired in Earth's past. and how human was brought back into life in the earth plane. And that is the answer.
Thank you. Next question is from a fellow by the name of Sanso, and he asks, how can I remember my past life? And, you know, I'm just going to make another comment here. It's interesting, between Terry and myself, she has very clear memories of her past lives as if it was one continuous life. And I don't have that. Although I have learned some of my past lives, one way or another, through looking like people. And when I study those people, I have an incredible resonance. I realize that I could have been them, but I can almost reenact inside myself how it felt to be them, but I can't remember the incidents. Now, I have a theory, and maybe they might mention this. Terry has had lifetimes where she stayed in the astral between lives, and if you stay in the astral, I think you have more of a memory carried forth directly. And if you go back to the higher realms of light, I'm not saying this is true, I'm postulating that you have a clearing of your life, and each life becomes a new experience, even though it's attached to the matrix, the energy matrix of the previous life, the memory is not so easily accessible. So maybe our sources can clarify that and answer Sanso's question about how he can remember his past life.
Thank you, Sanso. We take a look and we see that you have indeed had past lives in the earth plane previously. We see that they were different past lives with different occupations, and that, for instance, one was of a sailor. So we suggest that you pay attention to your thoughts, to your dreams, to the visions that you get when you close your eyes to go to sleep. What is it that you see? What is it that you dream when you wake up in the morning before you are fully awake? See if you can remember what your dream was. And see if you have dreams of sailing. See if you have dreams of other things that you may have done. And the memories are there. However, as you experience the new lifetimes, you take on the manifestation universe around you, and the past life visions tend to dissolve or to grow less. However, they are there, and by paying attention to the little snippets of visions that you get here and there, often triggered by something in your environment, just take a look and move on with your day. But see if there is a pattern to them, something that you are drawn to something that makes you more comfortable or something even that may be scary that you would like to not remember and stay away from. Just let it flow through and catalog it in your mind and see if a pattern develops about what you may have done in your past.
Thank you. I have another question from Rick in Iowa, but I am not going to ask his question. I mean, his question had to do were the Beatles part of a divine plan? I would not like to ask that. I would like, many people talk about the divine plan, and if it's meant to be, it'll happen. And I personally, and also from some of the things I've learned, know that there was a lot of free will established in this realm. And so I would like to have a comment on the idea of divine plan, things are meant to be, from our sources. Thank you.
Thank you. Each person is on a path, and that path provides them growth and provides them with challenges in their particular life that can bring them to the growth that they need to experience. This is the way that things work and weave together. We do not call it a divine plan because the individual is in charge of his growth process. However, the universe does come together to provide him with what he needs for his next step in growth and learning.
Thank you very much. And I think we've reached the end of our questions tonight. I thank you so much. Would you like to have any closing comments in the next 30 seconds?
We are profoundly grateful for this opportunity to connect with each and every one of you as we look at the third density realm sometimes as a separate area that leaves out the higher realms or does not notice them or know that they are there. And we're profoundly grateful for the opportunity to connect. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here and providing your view on how all of this works. Thank Terry. Thank all of you who are creating the platform, the stage, the energy, the love that allows this information and connection happen. And I hope to see some of you on Sunday. Sunday is always our most popular call and always has the best, highest energy on it because we focus on bringing the energies in of the higher realms, not just getting information. And thank all of you who sent messages to Carla, and if any of you didn't do that and want to, it'll help cheer her up. She's home right now. We're, I think, 3 days after the operation, 4 days, and it seems like it went well, and she's really appreciated all the messages that I have forwarded to her. Her assistant is reading them to her So on that note, unmute everybody.
Unmuted.
You're all unmuted, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, Wynn and Terry.
Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you.
Good night, Wynn.
Yeah.
Terry, thank
Go.
You.
See you, Wynn.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
That's very good.
Thank you.
See you, Terry.
Thank you. Night.
Night.
Just thank you, Assistant.
Thanks, Terry. Thanks, Wynn.
Welcome.
Hello, Wynn. Are you there?
I'm here. I'm going to stop the tape recorder just a second.
Okay.
Your conference recording has stopped.
I want to text message you. Wynn?
Is that Michael?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to text message you my site on which I have numerology, slightly different, you know, from one country to another. The numerology differs, but ours was brought in through meditation. Mm-hmm. And it's particularly written in order to teach people what the talents they have and skills and mm-hmm. what they came in to do career-wise.
Okay, send it to me. I'll take a look, all right? And,
yep.
Thanks for being here.
I love it. I love the program. I think you do wonderful. And I love your guests that come on. Yeah.